Atenção, senhores espectadores. Muito boa tarde.
Corkout History presents
Grândola Vila Morena,
Picard Nation Revolution.
A partir deste momento, o movimento das Forças Armadas,
brought to you by André Andinés,
controla totalmente a rede emissora da Rádio e Televisão Portuguesa.
Today, we're delving into Portugal's role during World War II. This is a vast and intricate topic, to say the least. But I'll do my best to keep it short and sweet. Ready? Let's dive in. When the conflict erupted in 1939, Europe split into two camps. The Allies, comprising of France and England, supporting Poland, and the Axis, led by Germany. Italy, as Germany's ally, joined later in 1941. At this time, Portugal swiftly declared its neutrality. Portugal's stance aimed at safeguarding its independence amidst the turmoil. The government prioritized what it deemed as Portuguese interests over aligning with any ideological bloc. Recognizing Portugal's primarily overseas focus, Salazar sought to keep the nation distant from any European entanglements. Even before the war, Salazar had outlined ideological disparities with the Axis powers. Despite expressing admiration for Mussolini, and there's actually a famous photo of Salazar where he keeps Mussolini's picture on his work desk, he said that Portugal's Catholic moral principles diverged from the fascist regime of Mussolini. A devout Catholic, Salazar found Hitler's paganism and expansionist ambitions troubling, although he acknowledged and admired Hitler's anti-communist efforts and achievements. Overall, Portugal under Salazar aimed to steer clear of the conflict, prioritizing its own interests and maintaining a distance from the ideological extremes of the time. Salazar's policy of neutrality during World War II was driven by a strategic imperative. Portugal still held overseas territories that were vulnerable to a military attack, and aligning with either side would have posed significant risks. If Portugal had sided with the Axis powers, it would definitely have triggered a conflict with Great Britain, potentially resulting in the losses of its colonies. Conversely, aligning with Great Britain, Portugal's oldest alliance, would have jeopardized Portugal's security on the continent. At the outset of the war, on September 1st, 1939, Portugal reaffirmed its long-standing Anglo-Portuguese alliance, which dated back 600 years. However, since Britain did not seek Portuguese assistance, Portugal was left free to maintain neutrality, a stance then accepted by the British. Later, despite repeated requests from Britain, including calls to halt the dissemination of weather reports from the Azores, for instance, or to allow the transit of British troops and ammunition through Mozambique and prohibit the landing of Germans in Portugal, Portugal consistently refused these demands, intent on its neutrality. One cornerstone of Salazar's neutrality policy was the establishment of a neutral Iberian bloc, formed jointly with Spain. After extensive negotiations, the Luso-Spanish Treaty of Friendship and Non-Aggression, also known as the Iberian Pact, was signed in Lisbon on March 17, 1939. Amidst the tumult of war, after the capitulation of France and with German tanks in the Pyrenees, and at a time when some of Franco's ministers raised the possibility that Spain might enter the war on the Axis side and occupy Portugal, Portugal took diplomatic initiatives to safeguard its sovereignty. On July 5th, 1940, with the situation becoming increasingly precarious, an additional protocol between Portugal and Spain was signed in Lisbon. This protocol reaffirmed the commitment to peninsular neutrality. This strengthened treaty enabled two nations with contrasting ideological leanings, so you had Spain leaning towards Italy and Germany, and Portugal towards Great Britain, to maintain their neutrality amidst the war's turmoil. For Portugal, the treaty also served as a deterrent against Spanish factions contemplating the occupation of Portuguese territory. Salazar's adept diplomacy and achieving this Iberian neutrality garnered international admiration. In 1940, Life magazine hailed him as the greatest Portuguese since Henry the Navigator, whom we've talked about in previous seasons of the podcast, and portrayed Salazar as a benevolent leader. The British, expressing their sympathies for Salazar's regime, revealed their appreciation by informing him of Oxford's university decision to confer upon him an honorary doctorate. Additionally, Winston Churchill himself commended Salazar's skills in keeping Portugal out of the war in a letter of congratulations. In 1941, Japan launched an invasion of East Timor, at the time one of Portuguese territories, marking the only direct engagement of Portuguese forces during World War II. Although Portugal never formally declared war on Japan, Portuguese soldiers and civilian volunteers joined Australian and Dutch troops in resisting the Japanese invaders. In Australia, the first Portuguese parachute military unit was established to conduct guerrilla operations behind Japanese lines. Portugal's stance of neutrality faced challenges from both sides of the conflict, particularly regarding the sensitive issue of tungsten trade. Initially, Salazar believed that withholding tungsten from Germany would invite German aggression, while Portugal also depended on the import of agricultural fertilizers and steel from Germany, which were unavailable from the Allies. However, mounting pressure from London to stop the sales to Germany led Portugal to suspend tungsten sales not only to Germany, but also to the Allies in 1944. All in efforts of keeping to its neutral stance, despite this actually having quite a negative economic impact to the country. Portugal managed to maintain a non-active ally status, accepted by both blocs due to its strategic neutrality. However, this neutrality was much harder to maintain for the Azores Islands and Cape Verde, both crucial maritime positions coveted by the Americans and the British. Portuguese diplomacy worked to hinder foreign military presence in these territories, at least until the outcome of the conflict became clear. After lengthy negotiations, a secret agreement was reached on August 18, 1943, finally allowing British military access to the Azores. Meanwhile, the United States also sought to leverage the military facilities granted to the British in the Azores. However, the Portuguese government, lacking an alliance with the United States, resisted this proposal. But eventually, a compromise was reached. The Americans would gain access to the facilities, but in exchange, they pledged assistance to Portugal in reclaiming East Timor, which had been occupied by Australians in 1941, and after that, by the Japanese in 1942. Australia had shown interest in annexing East Timor, prompting an intervention from the Americans and British to ensure Portuguese sovereignty over the territory. After the war, East Timor was returned to the Portuguese control, as agreed. Salazar staunchly maintained Portuguese neutrality throughout the war, refusing to opportunistically align with the winning side. His committing to neutrality, bordering on obsession, was exemplified by his diplomatic practices, such as ordering Portuguese flags to be flown at half-mast for 3 days following Hitler's suicide. This was in line with customary mourning for heads of state with whom Portugal had diplomatic relations with. However, it wasn't well received, and this decision sparked international protests and internal controversy, you think? After 8 days of national mourning, Salazar instructed that public discussion on the matter was to cease. So, let's move on. No one talks about us mourning Hitler anymore. Despite this, it's important to mention that Salazar's regime was not aligned with the Nazi regime. Rather, it leaned towards Catholic conservatism and it did not exhibit a racist or anti-Semitic ideology. Actually, Salazar openly condemned Nazi anti-Semitism, criticizing the foundations of the Nuremberg Laws in a published compilation of texts in 1937. He expressed regret that German nationalism was tinged with racial characteristics, and he defended Portuguese Jews in 1938, instructing the embassy in Germany to safeguard their interests. From the onset of the persecution of Jews in Germany, Salazar's policy was to permit their entry into Portugal as long as they could promptly leave the country, effectively implementing a transit policy to other nations, particularly the United States and Brazil. This decision was not based on their Jewish identity, but rather concerns about potential tensions with Germany. Portuguese Jews with citizenship were treated equally to any other citizens. Portuguese consulates were authorized to issue visas independently to individuals who demonstrated plans to exit Portuguese territory, already holding an entry visa to their destination country. While this transit-only visa policy has been very criticized, we need to keep in mind that it was less restrictive than measures implemented by other countries like Sweden, Switzerland, the United States, Canada, and notably Great Britain, which halted all visas fearing infiltration by enemies after declaring war. Portugal, like most other countries at the time, sought to safeguard against the indiscriminate entry of potential political agitators, criminals, and stateless individuals, also acknowledging its limitations in accommodating large numbers of refugees due to its economic constraints. Now, at this moment, it's crucial to highlight the courageous actions of Aristides de Sousa Mendes, the Portuguese consul in Bordeaux, who defied Salazar's orders and issued large numbers of visas to Jews and people escaping the war. Reportedly, around 30,000 visas were issued. He has become one of the Portuguese heroes since. However, it's good to remember that Sousa Mendes' act of disobedience was not an isolated incident among Portuguese diplomats and consular officials. Many others also chose to disregard orders and granted visas to people escaping in defiance of official policy. I would also like to mention another episode, taking place in Budapest in 1944, when, amid the German invasion of Hungary, two Portuguese diplomats, this time with Salazar's approval, provided diplomatic asylum to Jews at the Portuguese embassy. They issued provisional passports and collective visas, estimated to have saved over 1,000 Jews from Nazi death camps. Salazar's administration also permitted Zionist organizations to operate in Portugal, supporting the refugees. The exact number of refugees who benefited from Portugal's neutrality and hospitality is difficult to ascertain, but estimates range from 100,000 to 1,000,000. These figures are remarkable for a country with a population of around 6 million at the time. Portugal's stance of neutrality during World War II enabled the country to maintain open diplomatic and commercial channels with both warring parties. This resulted in a positive trade balance for Portugal, with exports surpassing imports in the years of 41, 42 and 43, an achievement that had not been seen for decades. This adept management of Portuguese neutrality spared the country from the ravages of war and allowed it to reap the benefits of peace. The Spanish government's position was greatly influenced by its relations with Portugal, as Spain refrained from entering the conflict on the side of the Axis power. The formation of the Iberian bloc served as a counterbalance to relations with England, strengthening alliances and securing recognition of Portuguese independence by both England and Spain. Portugal emerges as a rare haven of peace in a world engulfed by conflict, welcoming refugees from diverse backgrounds. Notable amongst them was Kalusht Gulbenkian, an Armenian who settled in Portugal and bequeathed his fortune to establish a foundation that became one of our most prominent cultural institutions in the country. Today, you can still visit it in Lisbon. I would highly recommend it. The end of World War II marked a political triumph for democracies in Western Europe, condemning totalitarianism. In Portugal, despite recognition of Salazar's achievements in financial reorganization, economic recovery, and peace conservation, many saw an opportunity for change. The rehabilitation of democracies abroad spurred the desire among a significant portion of the population for a return to the government based on parliamentary representation. Despite opposition efforts, resistance failed to oust Salazar from power in the years that followed, and he remained firmly entrenched in leadership. Now, I would like to end by saying that history is far from being black and white. It is complex and multifaceted. While it sure is easy to condemn the position of neutrality during the atrocities of World War II, it's essential to acknowledge the nuanced contributions of figures like Salazar. Salazar's legacy is undeniably tainted by oppression and authoritarianism. However, his role in keeping Spain out of alliance with Germany during the war cannot be overlooked. The impact of Spain joining the Axis powers could have been significant and would undoubtedly have altered the course of the conflict in unforeseeable ways. For Portugal, Maintaining neutrality and avoiding the horrors of war was undoubtedly seen as a positive outcome. In a world engulfed by violence and devastation, the preservation of peace within Portuguese borders was a priority. While the neutrality stance may be criticized, it's crucial to consider the context and complexities involved in navigating such tumultuous times. Acknowledging Salazar's role in keeping Spain neutral serves as a reminder of the intricate diplomatic maneuvers that shaped the course of World War II and highlights the importance of analyzing history with a nuanced perspective.
And this is where we'll stop for now. Join us on the next episode.
Until then, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Corkout History Pod, where you can reach out to us, let us know your thoughts, and discover more about the episodes.
Don't forget to rate and subscribe wherever you're listening to us.
Your comments really are crucial so that more people can find us.
Bye! Bye.